Well, hi everyone. Thank you very much for joining us today. We're really glad that you've been able to do that and taking the time to be with us. Whether you're watching this live or on catch up, and then we pray that you know God's blessing from what you've already seen and heard and what will continue as part of this stream. Would love you to connect with us and keep up the conversation, so all our contact details and social media information will come up at some point in the stream. So please do get in touch with us, or if you have a prayer request, then we'd love to be able to do that for you. Let's pray before we turn to our topic this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to look at your word, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and inspire us and encourage us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to give us courage, and that we will be people who decide, even before we've heard the message, that we will be people who obey and not just observe your word. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Values provide a vision for our lives. When you know your own values, it's easier actually to make decisions and to choose ahead of time the things you should do. Whether that's a job and a career, whether that's going for a promotion, whether that's choosing a life partner, when we know our own values, then it becomes much easier. And in fact, it can be a source of happiness or unhappiness for us, because some of the unhappiness is not to do with our circumstances. It's because we feel that disconnect or that disengagement because our life is not going in the direction that the values that are deep within us. And so values, whether we recognize them or not, whether we understand them in our own lives, are very important to the vision for our lives and the way we should go forward. Values provide a vision for our lives, not only personally, but actually for organizations, for church, and for leaders as well. That's why today we're starting this new series on building on our values. And I want to talk about the things that I'll be leading the church into in the future. And these are the values that help us fulfill the vision that God has for us. And there are five values that I want to talk about, and they'll come up on the screen for you. And we're going to unpack them over the next few weeks. The first one is in encountering Holy Spirit. As a leader and as a church, we're committed to allowing the Holy Spirit to be actively involved in our community life through spiritual gifts, through the Word of God, and through congregational participation. I'm going to unpack that a little bit more today. I believe as a church, we need to be operating in grace. We seek to be a grace-filled church that welcomes all people, whatever their stages in their journey of faith. We're not expecting perfection. We're not expecting people to arrive. We welcome people in as God does. We love them and we speak the truth into their life so that they can grow up into maturity. But our starting point is one of operating in grace. Thirdly, it's about transforming teaching. I preach for transformation. I preach for change. I'm not here simply to give you more information about the Bible. I believe that we should be having biblical anointed teaching that's a catalyst for transformation in our lives. It's about motivating mission. We acknowledge the importance of mission that reaches and supports the local community and into other nations. That's one of the reasons we do the projects we do. And we're developing some stuff that have to do with well-being and mental health that you'll hear more about in the incoming weeks. I also believe in engaging worship. And we want to provide regular opportunities. At the moment, that's online, but regular opportunities for people to encounter God in a variety of styles through the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to unpack that over the next several weeks. And today we're looking at this idea of encountering Holy Spirit. Why is it important to pursue the work of the Spirit and an encounter with Him? Here's a couple of simple points that we're going to develop for you today. The Spirit brings us life. The Spirit brings us Jesus, and the Spirit brings us help. That's why it's important that we pursue, not just be passive, but pursue the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and actually encounter Him. The Spirit brings life. In the all-age service stream at 9:30 a.m., Kerry talked about the Spirit as a promise of the Father, because hundreds of years ago, before Jesus even came, before he poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, God the Father promised that he would send the Holy Spirit through the prophet Ezekiel. He says there's a new day coming, a new way of relating to God, a new way of relationship that was always his intention. This is how he says it. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 28, coming on your screen. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. This marks a whole new way that was always God's intention, that we could live, that we could know we belong to God, that he is our God and we are his people. And Jesus picks up on this idea when he talked to one religious leader called Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he's trying to explain to him that this was God's intention. And in John chapter 3, verse 5, this is what Jesus says. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Nicodemus tried to get his head around this because he said, "I'm an old man. How can I be born again?" Jesus said, "No, it's not about physical birth, not simply about being born of water, the normal human birth. It's actually being born again by the Spirit of God. That was God's intention, and that can only come through the work of the Holy Spirit, not through our initiative, not through our works, not through our goodness, not through our attempts." In fact, the early church leader Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." We couldn't keep the law. We couldn't keep God's standard of perfection. But the good news is we don't have to, because the Holy Spirit living in us sets us free from that old law, sets us free from those attempts, and means we don't have to live in condemnation anymore. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to live for God. Just think about that. God sets that standard of perfection, but he gives us the Holy Spirit that we can please him, that we can live for him. Paul writes elsewhere in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. "He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life." I find that an incredibly exciting thing, and one of the reasons why we need to pursue the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because he allows us to be born again. He causes us to be born again. He sets us free from laws of condemnation. He enables us to live for him and to serve him, to make our life full of purpose and full of meaning. But truthfully, I've been around churches that have often been defined by what they're against. It turns out they're against most things. It turns out that all they do is bring judgment and condemnations. And I can tell you, that's not the type of church I intend to lead. That's not the church I want to lead, where there's lists and rules and regulations about what Bible version you can read, about the latest songs, about who's in and who's out, about what style of dress or what code of dress. None of those things ultimately matter. What matters is the freedom of the Holy Spirit to work in us and bring the transformation he desires, because it's how we begin the Christian life. We begin by being born again through the work of the Holy Spirit. But so often we forget that, and we fall into a passive arrangement with the work of the Holy Spirit. But Paul says that we need to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, which is an active partnership with him. So we can't be passive about the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul warns one of the early churches, Galatians. He says, you began in the Spirit, but actually you've attempted by your human efforts to complete the work of salvation. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 says this. "How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Unfortunately, people can fall into that trap, almost live their lives in an old way of regulation and rules, rather than out of the acceptance and the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings. And I want to encourage you, you don't need to live in condemnation. You don't need to live with the lists of rules and regulations. You can live with the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings and the transformation He brings to live in freedom before God. I've travelled in many different countries, and one of the things when I'm talking to leaders and developing new partnership is I say to them that the work of the Holy Spirit is non-negotiable. I'm not so much interested in Bible versions, I'm not so much interested in songs that they sing. I'm not even interested in how they do communion or what the specifics of their beliefs and church government or the end times. All of those things are not things in which to base partnerships. The work of the Holy Spirit is non-negotiable for me because the Holy Spirit brings life. Everything else can actually bring death and condemnation to us. That's why it's non-negotiable. So the Spirit brings us life. That's why we need to pursue His work. Secondly, the Holy Spirit brings us Jesus. In John chapter 14, Jesus says some of His most comforting words, some of His most famous words, when He says, "In my Father's house are many rooms, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You trust in God, trust also in me." And those comforting words go on for Jesus to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Challenging words, exclusive words, but the words of Jesus, and He's saying them in the context of His last few hours with the disciples. He's saying them in the context where He's explaining to them that He has to go to the cross, that He has to suffer, but that He will rise from the dead. And in that context, the disciples are bewildered. They don't understand what God is doing. They're discontent. They're trying to figure out amongst themselves. And not only that, He says, "You're actually going to betray me when it comes to mattering most." And the disciples are trying to figure this out, and they're trying to wrestle with this, and they're trying to wrestle with their grief and their loss, and they would eventually go into lockdown, and they don't understand this. Things haven't turned out the way they'd planned. It wasn't the year that they'd planned. Does that sound familiar? And Jesus comes in this context and says, "Actually, it's better for you that I go away, because something new is going to happen, something different." John 14, verse 16 is the words of Jesus. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." This is the revelation that Jesus is bringing, and John recorded for us. John was His closest disciple, and so many times in John chapter 14, 15 and 16, He talks about the closeness of the work of the Spirit, here described as an advocate that we'll talk about in a moment. But He says another advocate. And the word that John records is another of the same kind. There's two words that He could have used, another of the same kind or another of the different kind. And actually, He's bringing a revelation of the heart of God. And Jesus saying, when the Spirit comes, when this advocate comes, it's another like me. It's another that brings the presence of Jesus to you. Another advocate, another helper of the same kind. The Amplified version of John chapter 15, verse 26, brings out the richness of this truth for us. "But when the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby comes, whom I will send to you in the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. He will testify and bear witness about me." That one word that's used there, the original Greek word that Jesus is speaking, is the word parakletos. But it's a richness of truth. It means those several things, those strengthener, those helper, those counselor, that advocate like a lawyer or solicitor who would represent us in court. Jesus is coming and saying, listen, when I leave, I'm going to send the Spirit, and he's going to be all the things that I have been to you physically during the last 3 years. He's going to be all these things, and even more, because he's going to be with you forever. What an encouragement that we have. And that's why a New Life Church, I want us to be a church that is authentically hungry for the work of the Spirit. I'm not really interested in the fluff. I'm not really interested in the hype. I'm not really interested in the fads and the things that come and go. I'm interested in us as a church being authentically hungry for the things of the Holy Spirit. It's not about implementing the latest strategies or the latest church growth to bring what's humanly possible. It's actually connecting to the power of God so that when we pray for the sick, when we confront injustice, we're seeking to hear the voice of God on behalf of others. And this involves entering a partnership with God, the Holy Spirit. And he will bring to us the presence of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit brings us life. The Holy Spirit brings us Jesus. But the Holy Spirit also brings us help. We return to John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17, reading from the Amplified Version. You will recognize some of the words already because Jesus repeated it. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, counselor, strengthener, and standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its hearts, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be with you. Again, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, words that I think are very practical and helpful to us. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Have you ever got to the end of yourself in prayer? Have you ever felt that exasperation? Have you ever felt that desperation for some of the situations in your life? I know I have, and I suspect you have too. And that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring us help even when we don't know what to pray. But the key is, as we've said earlier, I'm not preaching simply for information, to give you clever Greek words so that you can go, oh yes, I knew that, or that's new, that's interesting. But actually to bring a response in our hearts. So when we talk about the work of the Spirit, when we talk about encountering the work and dynamic of the Holy Spirit, about being pursuing his presence in our lives, how do we respond? See, I believe it is important that we respond, because 15 times in the New Testament, Jesus even comes and says to us, he who has ears, let him hear, or let him hear what the Spirit says. We are an Assemblies of God Pentecostal church. And part of our statement of belief is this. We believe in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of Christ in the church today. And you can find those in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians 4. Christ's gifts to the church and the Holy Spirit's gifts to the church. We believe it's important that we establish that we pursue those things, because it's part of our statement of belief, but more importantly, because of what the Bible says. Because of what God says to us. And the early church leader, Paul, records some of those things that are important in the pursuit of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Do not quench the Spirit, or do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. And then hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil. Paul says to us, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit. So anything in your life that is quenching that or damping that or pouring water on the passion for God that he wants us to have, get rid of it. Deal with it in your life so that there is that passion for God that overflows. So that you're not putting out the Spirit's fire. So that you're open to the voice of God that may come through prophecies. That's important that we do that. And that's, in a sense, him putting them negatively. But elsewhere, Paul has put that positively to one of his proteges, Timothy. And this is what he says. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gives did not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. See, all of those things from Scripture are some of the reasons why I want New Life Church to be actively pursuing the work of the Spirit. For you to be pursuing the work of the Spirit in your life. For you to have that fellowship, that partnership with the Holy Spirit. We want to be actively pursuing. We want to be actively partnering with the Holy Spirit. We want to be actively playing our part, which is where our gifts come in, and using our gifts. Some of you have gifts and maybe you're not using them. Allow the Holy Spirit to fan into flame those gifts. Ask him to help you to do it. Ask him to give you courage and strength. You see, the world we live in needs people who are passionate for God and for the things of God. Not passive, not, well, maybe someday, or whatever, or that's someone else's responsibility. Because Jesus, when he stood up on his first sermon in Luke chapter 4, says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me or empowered me to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to bind up the brokenhearted. That is the mandate of the church, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to help us to do as we play our part. I want to suggest to you that we need that today. That is the mandate we have, that's the message we have, and we need to be people who have the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do this. We need the church to be the church. I need to be playing my part, and you need to be playing your part. So as we draw to a finish, I want to encourage you with the words of Jesus that he spoke to one of the churches, in fact to all of the churches. He says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. For some of you, that might be beginning that journey. Maybe you've listened to this message and said, what do you mean about being born again? What is this relationship, personal relationship with God that you're talking about? I've been in church all my life and I've never heard this. If you'd like to know more about beginning that journey, about saying your first yes to God, about receiving his Holy Spirit, then we would love to talk to you. Please get in touch with us. But it's really very simple. You can invite God to come by the Holy Spirit. You can acknowledge your need of him. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can count the cost. And you can decide to follow him, whatever it costs. That's the ABCD. But please do get in touch with us. Please talk to us. We'd love to help you. We'd love to give you resources to begin your journey. For some of you, you've already begun that journey. Maybe you need to renew that passion for the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to say that you've neglected the work of the Holy Spirit, that you've been passive towards his work. Maybe you need that fresh encounter with God. Can I encourage you to watch the video that we're about to put on? It's only 1 minute, 39 seconds. It's short, but it's a prayer based on what someone else has written, a prayer for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Can I encourage you to watch it? Can I encourage you then at some point to re-watch it, to re-watch the stream, and even if it's only listening to that prayer or writing it down and journaling and making it your own, make this prayer for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to be true. Enjoy the video. And if you're able to, join us on Zoom as we do virtual coffee and prayer and ask God the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives that we might encounter Him. God bless you and see you soon.